The play-in battle is insane right now. One little adjustment and you might lose your spot. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Nur Zainab, next to Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and we're going to break down the mess that are the Toronto Raptors. Actually, they're not that much of a mess not lately, you guys. They've been kind of get their shit together. But as I said, one little adjustment and you might lose your spot. Just ask the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. They had to win against the Spurs to not give up their eighth seed to the Raptors, but they blew a lead to the San Antonio Spurs, which meant if had the Raptors won against the Bucks last night, they would have taken that eighth seed. We do have 10 games remaining, but the Raptors do look like they're kind of getting their groove back together. They've won three straight at home against the Denver, against Thunder, as well as the Wolves, and they did lose to the Bucks last night on a back-to-back, but let's also factor in the fact that they had to travel, second night of a back-to-back, Fecks are healthy, they're at home, we lost Scotty in the fourth, so let's just break the whole thing down, you guys. How much are you letting yourself believe in this team, Jelani?
Well, I think we've been playing well at home, like as of late, like you mentioned. I think the fact that we came back home, you know, after that road trip really made, like I said, last show, made us feel more comfortable. That's why we saw better performances, right? But last night, right, you're playing a team like the Bucks. The Bucks are arguably the best team in basketball, so it was going to be tough regardless, right? I'm just going to say I wish they won that game, would have got us that eighth spot, right? It's really bunched up right now with all the teams, so there's no guarantee that you're gonna be in the play-in. That's why you want to win these games, right? I think the Raptors have, you know, put themselves in a good spot to try to get themselves a 7-8. So
seven seed.
Yeah, I think it's still possible. It's still possible. It's still there, but with 10 games remaining,
3.5 games out.
I don't know. It's still possible, right? So I'd say realistically, it's probably going to be 8-9. Mm-hmm. But that 7 still, you know, up for grabs, I'd say. So moving forward, we have a few games where I see the Raptors being able to win those games, right? You got Detroit. I think we can beat a Detroit. Charlotte Indiana, twice. It's going to be tough, but I think we can beat Indiana. Mm-hmm. You got Charlotte.
Twice. There's Philly, Miami,
yeah,
still.
So Boston. There are winnable games there. So that's why I'm going to say, yeah, I think the Raptors will be in a play-in spot, and they'll get one of the higher play-in seats.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the positivity. Now, what wasn't positive is that Brooke Lopez outscored the Raptors single-handedly in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah.
The Raptors.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't understand. Like, they had such a great three quarters. They played real. They pushed the best team in the East all over the court. They were in the game. They had a great first three quarters, and then once again they fall off in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And Brooke Lopez set the tone. Like in the first minutes, went on an 8-0 run himself. Right. Again, I don't think it's kind of late for moral victories for the Raptors. They need actual legitimate victories now.
This is 10 games left.
It's 10 games left. You can't be having moral victories. And that's a game where, you know, if your offense remotely shows up in the fourth quarter, you know, you win that game. And that's a massive win because not only do you get the 8-3, as Noor mentioned, but you also build some much-needed confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And this team was playing well. They were playing really, really well the last couple games against OKC, against Denver, against Minnesota, again, who didn't have Anthony Edwards, but they still went out there and they had a convincing victory, right? And now they got to go up against the Indiana team that, you know, is two games behind them right now. Two and a half games behind them. So, you know, you have to, you know, win that game because you want to build that separation from the 11 seed as well. So it's, I don't know if they're back. They've played well, but then there's still some of those same inconsistencies and those same ugly issues that are rearing their ugly head still that concern me. And I think they're, to me, if I was to hedge a bet on it right now, I think they stick in that nine seed right now. If I was to hedge my bet.
I think having a game like that against the Bucks, I know people are saying there's no such thing as moral victories, but to me that's a moral victory. But how they won, how they played that game, given all the factors combined, how the Raptors had been playing leading up to that, playing three at home, winning those games pretty confidently, I should add, like they were leading two of them the entire way through and they got those wins very well together. They played the Wolves on a Saturday evening. They had to turn around and travel to Milwaukee afterwards, take on a full studded Milwaukee Bucks team. They're leading the conference right now. They've got Giannis. They have Drew Holiday. Middleton looks healthy and he's back. Mm-hmm. And Brook Lopez is Brook Lopez. He's leading the DPOY race for a reason. He's a defensive player of the year. And literally, I think most of the centers in the league can't really go up against Brook Lopez. It's Brook Lopez. Any guy like Jakob Poeltl as well. Like 9 times out of 10, Brook Lopez will have a guy like Jakob Poeltl's number. So given all the factors there, also given the fact that Siakam only had 13 points that night, our highest score guy had maybe 22 points in Fred VanVleet, and Gary Trent has to come off the bench and be that guy. I think this was a good win. I didn't expect them to win against Milwaukee. I never said they were going to get that win in Milwaukee, but I did say it was going to be a close game, and that's what the Raptors did. The fact that they kept it close, the fourth quarter, given all the factors, I'm obviously going to be happier with the win, but I'm happy with this loss.
I just wish that the fourth quarter was better, like Justin pointed out, because if you're looking at it, right, we went there was like a 4-minute stretch with no points.
Nothing.
We went 1-for-11 from like the nine minute mark through like the 5-minute mark.
And
so you gotta have more consistency in the fourth. We saw that though. I will say at the homestand, like when we were home, we did see better performances. Right, the Minnesota game, albeit without Ant, we did finish the job, and that's what you have to do. So that's what I want to see, and I think that's going to happen with the Raptors moving forward.
If you're going to give the edge to Minnesota there and say, "Oh yeah, they were without Ant," I mean, we were without Scottie Barnes the fourth quarter
and
too.
Let's not forget Minnesota couldn't shoot the basketball.
No,
okay,
no.
5-for-23.
Nobody's discrediting.
Oh, we helped them do that.
Nobody's discrediting the win against Minnesota. They went out there, took care of business, what they're supposed to do. Last night, though, also Pascal Siakam 5-for-14 shooting. We thought, you know, that game against was OKC where he had 25 points. We thought he was coming back, turned the corner. But then, again, you see the same thing. Passive in the fourth quarter. Making mistakes, right? Only 13 points. Yes, he had 12 rebounds, but 1-for-5 from three-point land, right? If he's supposed to be the best player, that's a game where you have to show up. Look, Drew Holiday didn't show up whatsoever for the Milwaukee Bucks. Brook Lopez showed up. Chris Middleton had a decent game. Giannis got one of the most low-key triple-doubles. I didn't even know he had a triple-double until I saw it at the end of the game, and it was a perfect shooting, right? And he had 22 points. And again, yes, there's good positives, but I think it's too late to take the positives out of a loss where every game means so much to them.
Yeah, but you still have to factor in all the things that are surrounding it.
Yeah,
yes, it's way too late, and we know that it's moral
quarter.
Victory. Yeah, but you're also without your main guy, Scottie Barnes, who takes over
Pascal
the fourth
Siakam
quarter.
Was the main guy.
Have you seen Pascal Siakam in the past couple of games? Obviously not. If you know, if you're watching a Raptors game, you understand Scottie Barnes. In the fourth quarter, he's not there. You're playing a second night of a back-to-back in Milwaukee. Yes, you should have won that game, given the fact that the 8 seed's up for grabs in that moment, and the Raptors players knew that. That's why they came on super strong the first two quarters. But again, just given the fact that everything that was up against them, I'm happy with how they took on one of the best teams in the conference, one of the MVPs in the race, and a defensive player of the year. That's a good Raptors team. You can look at something good for a change. But something bad that happened for the Raptors team, as you mentioned, Scottie Barnes went down, suffered an injury to his left wrist right before halftime. He was evaluated in Milwaukee, and the x-rays came out negative. But then I think today he's going to go and check everything out. So we should be hearing back about his availability in the next couple hours, I would assume. But given he might be out at least for the next week, how would you think losing Scotty will impact this Raptors team besides the obvious fourth quarter?
Yeah, well, they need him, obviously, mm-hmm. right? He's a key piece. So now without Scotty, you have to look at three guys, right? That's OG Anunoby, that's Siakam, and that's obviously Fred VanVleet. Those guys are going to have to be who we expect them to be, right? Mm-hmm. Scorers, right? Guys that can, you know, be playmakers out there, because Scottie does so much, right? Scottie's not always going to give you 20, 25 points per game, but he does a lot on the court, whether that's rebounding, mm-hmm. that's assisting, you know, transition game too. So without him on the court, you're going to need your guys, right?
Right.
Those pillars to really step up. This is the final stretch.
So
this
now
final
without,
you want a playoff? You want a play-in spot?
If we're not, if we're without Scottie for Pacers on Wednesday, real quick, guys, are we getting that win, Jelani?
We'll see. It's up to Gary
Wednesday?
Trent Jr. He's going to be in the starting lineup. Let's see what Gary Trent Jr. can
But
do.
We'll be home. The Raptors seem to be doing pretty well at home recently. So the Pacers are going to be our next task to see if the Raptors can find a way to keep climbing those ranks. And if we can get somewhere comfortable in the play-in race, and perhaps, can I even say, a playoff. If you ask most Raptor fans what they want from this team, they're going to say shooting. They're going to tell you bucket. I'm Nur Zainab, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Justin Pooney. As I said, Raptor fans all around the world, Raptor fans sitting here will tell you that we want to see Raptors shoot. The first thing we want to see with this team is buckets. Yes, they're a defensive team, but we know they can sometimes shoot as well. But are the Raptors blessed in that shooting department right now? Maybe not. But is there a guy on this team that maybe one day could give us 60 points?
60?
You guys.
60.
Woo. 60 points. I know it's a lot to ask for. Yes, we have a starting six of guys that maybe like four of them are probably not going to hit that milestone for a long time. But I think it'd be fun just to figure out, like, if one guy was going to give you 60, who would it be on this current Raptors team? So let me make it easier for you guys just for a second, okay? The process of elimination. We've got six guys. You have Pascal, you have Fred VanVleet, Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent, Jakob Poeltl, and OG Anunoby. I'm just going to say right off the bat.
No Boucher?
No Precious Achiuwa? What about Christian Coloco?
Yeah, your boy Precious.
Christian Coloco could go loco one day and just drop a 60 piece. You like that?
Down Jr.? Maybe once he comes
You like that one?
Up.
That was a good one, right?
Christian Coloco could go loco.
Christian Coloco goes loco for 60? I like that.
I think we've used loco with Coloco before, but it's all good. Don't worry. We can give you this one. So process of elimination. I'm going to have Elner please bring up the graphic where it shows you all the Raptors and their career highs. Fred VanVleet had 54 points. This was last season. Pascal Siakam, you might remember, he had 52 at the Mecca in December of this season. And then Gary Trent had 44 points last season. Actually, three of them had a career highs last season with the Raptors. 2021-2022, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, and Gary Trent Jr. This season seems to be Siakam who's really uplifting everybody. But based off those three, you guys, who is going to be the first Raptor to score 60 points?
Gary Trent Jr. Because who knows if Fred VanVleet's going to be a Toronto Raptor? No, I'm kidding.
Look at this guy, bro.
No, it's Gary Trent because Gary Trent, we've seen it. When he gets hot and he's hitting his shots, man, they go in all the time. And they go in bunches, right? And I could see Gary Trent being a guy that gets off like 10 three-pointers in a game. Right? Yeah. He might take 20, but he could get 10 in, right?
Yeah, he's hot,
right? And then I think with Fred, he's getting a little bit older, right? His speed, and we see some, a lot of times when he drives the lane, he takes a lot of contact and he'll miss, right? And again, if he could top from shooting, yes, but I think Gary Trent, his ability to shoot the ball, if he gets on a hot streak, it goes in and goes in bunches. So I think it's Gary Trent.
I have to disagree with you.
Are you disagreeing, Jelani?
And he brings up the old factor. You know, he's Dame did it, bro. Dame's
considered
older.
I'm
not comparing the two. I'm saying he's an older guard.
Don't ever do that.
I'm arguably the biggest Dame fan here. That's debatable. Okay, so.
But you also can't look at Fred's recent play and be like, oh, he's getting older.
He's saying he's driving the lane. Fred can do the same thing. Yeah. He can finish. He's a good finisher at the guard spot. He's done it before. 54 points. You've seen this in Orlando and that same game. He had 11 threes, career high. So we've seen this before from Fred VanVleet. We know it's there. We know it's within him.
That's such a mainstream answer, though, Fred VanVleet. Bro, it's still mainstream.
How is it mainstream, fam?
I go against the grain, man.
It's not
Gary
about
Trent's
mainstream. It's about
pick.
Picking
bro,
the guy
I'm
that's
trying to
be
do right.
It.
We're here. We're in the business of being right. Right? And I think Fred VanVleet, if he's hot one night, we've seen it before. When he's on one, he's even more lethal than Gary. Okay? So I think that 60... If there's anyone on this team, I think it would be Fred.
Okay.
First and
bet
foremost.
On yourself.
All right.
Dude.
Nor, see, tell me.
I could go for
either. We already
know
your answer. We already know your answer. We already know your answer.
Justin, I'm a versatile person.
OG Anunoby.
Yeah, for sure. OG's going to be the first guy to get 80 on this Raptors team. He's going to pass Kobe.
Maybe in like
get
seven games,
too.
Maybe.
Oh, that's rude. Anyway, I see both of them seem liable to me. I can see Gary Trent doing it. I can see Fred VanVleet doing it. But if you want to get technical with it, who's coming off the bench and has less minutes to do it? Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah,
right
but we, but Fred VanVleet,
that's
if you want to get
point.
Technical,
that's
right?
Point.
Wait,
thank
if you want to get technical,
much.
Fred
thank
VanVleet might not be a Raptor next year.
Bro,
if you want to get technical, he might not be a Raptor next year.
Let's just imagine them all on the team.
So the
You're making a problem out of nothing. The question is on this current Raptors team, not who joins the Raptors or doesn't sign with the Raptors, this current team. Uh-huh. And on this current team, as it's shaped right now with Gary Trent off the bench, I'm going to say Fred VanVleet. He just had his third daughter as well.
Gary could go for 60 against Indiana. Scotty's hurt. He's going to be in the starting lineup. Gary could go for 60 against
Blood's
Indiana.
Blood's already thinking about 2024 season.
He's like, what about this next season?
No, Gary could go for 60 against Indiana. That's
look, it's possible for
possible.
Sure. But if he's on, like Noor said, if he's on, what if he starts on the bench?
Exactly.
Right?
Is he going to start on the bench if Scottie's hurt?
No.
Exactly.
But I'm saying you're bringing up hypotheticals.
This is a hypothetical question. I'm adding hypotheticals
to
it.
But I think like Gary Trent's going to be different because Gary Trent's going to need to have like a lower spectacle of a team to do that against. Mm. But Freddie could do that against the Bucks.
Freddie could do it against the Bucks.
It's shooting. Gary Trent can shoot the ball
but
when he's
hot.
But
it's different though because you have to have that mentality. And I think Freddie's like Freddie, even when
Gary
he's
Gary doesn't
sucking,
have the bucket mentality?
Can I finish? Okay. Do you mind? Gary can do that. But Freddie has the mentality where he's like, he could be like shooting 3 of 20, but he will still take that half court shot with 20 seconds to go. That's blind confidence. I don't like it half the time, but because of that confidence, he can do it. But I do have to say, the most recent guy who did have a career on this Raptors team, none of us picked him, Pascal Siakam.
Well, look at the way he's playing. Should we pick him?
I mean, 50.
Prior to this stretch, all year long, he was playing well.
No, I think if you want to get 60 in the NBA now, you got to get to the free throw line. You have to get to the free throw line like 15 plus times, right? You look at all the big games.
And we know he can. I think right now he's just going through a stretch. And if you want to compare how they've been playing this season, as I said, mm-hmm. the only guy who set a career high mark this season has been Pascal Siakam. The rest of them, yes, they got their beautiful career highs, but that was last season. Pascal did that at the Mecca, on the road, 52 points.
Against a good defensive team, right?
Very good defensive team. The Knicks are fifth right now, guys.
Gary had a career high. I think Gary's career high in a three-point made is 8. Oh, no, sorry. He had 9 three-pointers back when he was back in 2022 against Atlanta. So I'm just saying.
11 for Fred.
I'm just saying. Gary Trent, it looks like he's going to be a Raptor long term.
Fred was, you know.
Who knows what Fred's going to be doing next year?
Guys,
the only thing about next year, bro.
Nobody's scoring 60 the next 10 games.
Bro, anything's possible
in
this NBA.
It's like if you kept this Raptors team next season too, one of them could. Okay, one day they could. I'm gonna go with Jelani though. I think it's gonna be Fred VanVleet. I'm sorry. I think it's Freddie. As close as Gary can get, you just gotta be a little technical.
I hope Christian Koloko gets 60.
Sorry to the Raptors bench for leaving.
I'm believing you. Christian Koloko, I believe in you. Get 60 for me. Show these guys wrong. I believe in you.
All right. Well, will we one day get to witness someone on this team score 60 points? Maybe not on this current team. Maybe a different version of it too.
So now you're bringing up the 2024 season.
This is the whole point of it, is to have a conversation on who could one day do
it. And nobody could.
Don't look flabbergasted. No, they've gone
Gary
close
Trent
to
Jr. will. Gary
Pascal
Trent
Siakam was 8 points off.
That's a lot of points.
8 points off.
Fred was 6 points off.
Raptors got 16 points in the fourth quarter as a team
That's
last
enough.
Game.
Okay, everybody here knows Justin Pooney is a Raptors hater. There's nothing I can do about it. If anything, just send us like P.O. Box emails that we can maybe one to take care of it. But what? Masai... We want to see 60 points.
Guy
one
brought
day.
Up last
give
night.
Give us someone to give us 60 points, and we'll figure out that maybe the 10 games remaining, someone on the current Raptor could do it. I don't know. They might feel pressured. I know I feel pressured. The Eastern Conference might not be as cutthroat and as dysfunctional as the West, but they do have their own problems. Like I said, Noor Zeinab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and the Eastern Conference at our hand right now. As I said, everything keeps moving. Everyone keeps jumping over each other, especially the first three teams in the Eastern Conference, and the Bucks, and now Philly. Philly's number two, and the Celtics, who are third. But both the Philly and Celtics are only 2.5 games behind the Bucks, so anything could happen. They could all be leapfrogging each other as I'm speaking right now. But that also tells you that, like, we don't really know what's going to happen in the Eastern Conference, who's going to come out, who's going to be the top dog, because each of them have pretty much had a solid reason to be the guy, also given the fact that they have the guy in Giannis, in Embiid, and in Tatum. Don't smile. I know what you guys are thinking right now.
Your boy.
But I know.
Tatum
I know.
Is the... No, Tatum's got that dog in him.
Yeah,
you can't deny
he's
that.
He's a bother.
Yeah, he's...
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I know. So, guys, of all those... So those three teams. I know you can pick other teams, too, but I'm going to say these three teams. Bucks, Philly.
What about Toronto?
Celtics.
Say that with a straight face.
Did you want to set him up?
Is that say that with a straight face.
Do,
say that with a straight face.
Is that
face.
What you wanted to do?
Look in the camera and say that with a straight face right there. Say it with a straight face. Say it with a straight face.
Toronto Raptors.
I can't say it with a straight face. I love the Raptors, though. But, yeah.
Okay, we're not talking about the Raptors.
I know. Why'd you bring the Raptors up, man? Like, let's talk about, like, contenders.
Anyway.
You never know.
You see how the Raptors haters bring up the Raptors more than actual Raptor fans?
I didn't bring the Raptors up. He brought them up. I didn't bring them up.
Anything's possible.
Anyway. So of those three teams, and you can pick other ones too, I know, but I'm just going to assume that you're smart and you know it's going to be one of those three teams. Who's going to, why are you staring at Justin?
Like, question my basketball intellect?
No, I'm not.
What are you talking about, bro?
We're probably going to be in agreement on this.
We're
going
to say the exact same answer. I saw your answer already. So.
You're like, let's go, Justin. What do you have to say?
Since you're looking at me so much, I'll go first then. It's the Milwaukee Bucks. They're the best team in the East. They got the best player on planet Earth, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Facts.
We saw what he did, what he does on a nightly basis, the way he dominates. Nobody's dominated the game of basketball like Giannis since Shaq. Prime Shaq. We've never seen a player like Giannis have that physical ability, that strength, the ability to dominate the game on the offensive side and the defensive side. You know, defensive player of the year, back-to-back MVPs, NBA Finals, you know, MVP, NBA champion, All-Star game, captain of the All-Star team. I think he won Most Improved too at one point as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, he did.
Like, he is the best player on planet Earth
slam
right
dunk
now.
Slam dunk contest.
He actually, unlike a lot of superstars, Giannis actually performed in the slam dunk contest. Now, another thing is Chris Middleton. He's back. He's healthy. Jrue Holiday is one of the best two-way players, not just guard, players in the entire NBA. Brooke Lopez is a defensive anchor.
My dog.
Your guy. But hey, they're also deep. They got a lot of depth. Bobby Portis, right? They have a lot of good pieces on this roster. You know, Grayson Allen, you know, kind of dirty, pretty dirty. You know, Javon Carter, you know, Pat Connaughton, Joe Ingles. They're deep, right? They have vets on their squad, and they have that championship pedigree. The Milwaukee Bucks, had Chris Middleton not got hurt last year, would have gone to the finals and faced off against the Golden State Warriors.
We know this.
It's true. It's a fact.
That was my pick last year.
We would have had Warriors and Bucks.
That was my pick.
And quite frankly, we could have Warriors and Bucks this year, too. I still think that's a possibility. Yeah. So, yes, it's the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with Justin Pooney on this one.
Surprise.
No, not even surprise. Because
great minds think alike.
That is true. Look, you got to always stick with your pick, okay? I believe in that. So my preseason pick was Bucks Warriors for this for last season, right? Obviously, Middleton got hurt. I was like, let me try it again. So, Bucks Warriors, I got to stick with it. So, the Bucks, to me, they are, to me, I have more faith in them come playoff time. I don't know. Something's holding me back from going all in on the Celtics. I don't know why that is. They were the hottest team. You understand this. But as of late, we've seen, you know, a few holes in Boston. Mm-hmm. We've seen where they could be a bit vulnerable, right? I would want to say, though, watch out for Philadelphia.
That was my second pick.
Look, Philly, I have not been a believer, right? I like Doc Rivers, but playoff time, I don't trust him. James Harden, I'm a fan, but not playoff Harden. I'm not a fan of playoff Harden, right? No. So, but I would say this, Maxey's really, really good. And then you got Tobias Harris.
And you got the MVP.
They got one of arguably the best, like, four, like a you know,
core four
quartet, right? To, you know, in the league. And then obviously, Joel Embiid, he's playing like an MVP right now.
Like the MVP, he is the MVP.
I don't think he is, but
he is the MVP.
I think Philadelphia, you need to keep an eye on, but the Bucks, they're deep, like you said, right? They got Ingles, they got Crowder. Those are two guys who have been around the block into the playoff experience. You got Javon Carter, he's been playing really well, you know, as a backup point guard. He's actually shooting 41% from downtown. That could help playoff time. And Jrue Holiday, I think he has been underrated throughout his career, but not this year. Now we're really understanding who he has been, right? He is such a good, you know, a piece for them. Brooke Lopez, Defense Player of the Year. You never know. It's possible.
Hall of Famer, according to you, too.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I do. If you look at the criteria of the Basketball Hall of Fame, he's going to get in on like a fourth or fifth ballot.
I agree with Deion Sanders. It should be a Hall of Fame than an actual Hall of Fame.
Look.
That's another story for another day.
That's not my fault that the criteria is so low. The bar is low.
I'm not saying it's your fault.
No, but he's good. I think he deserves it. I think he's a really good defender. But I will say, like, Philly surprising me just based off of where they're coming and where they're going. They weren't supposed to be a good defensive team, but they're leading a lot of the categories in defense right now for this team. And offensively, yeah, they're going to be struggling here and there a little bit compared to the likes of Bucks and Boston, because they have their more of a complete team put together and guys know their roles. But because you have Embiid there, because you have Harden, because you have Tyrese Maxey, anything could happen. I will say, based off those three, they're my third. Why? Because I don't trust them in the playoffs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna need them to show me things in the playoffs. Embiid, 1,000%. He's actually leading the other two right now, and Giannis and Tatum, when it comes to points in the last five games on the season so far. But I think in terms of having to rely on James Harden, I like what James Harden's doing right now in facilitating, understanding that his game doesn't have to be just offense. He can also help his team and put them in better spots. But what James Harden will you get in the playoffs? Will he shy away from every single ball? Will he deflect the passes? I think we might see that again, because we've seen that constantly in his tenure in the playoffs. And Doc Rivers, who do you go down 3-1-2 and you're happy about going down 3-1? Nobody but Doc Rivers. So because of that, I'm a little skeptical. I know Embiid will go off. He'll have his airplane going the whole time, but I don't know if they'll actually win anything in terms of making the finals. Bucks and Celtics. I'm going with the Celtics. You guys know this. I gotta go with the Celtics. And the Celtics, because I just think they're such a complete team. I understand the Bucks have Giannis. He's one of the best players in the league, if not the best player in the league. They also have Drew Holiday. As you said, for me, Drew Holiday has been such a great pickup for them, because he's not just a scorer. He's also a passer. But I just think the Celtics have a more well-around team. They've got the Jays. They have a deep bench. They have Malcolm Brogdon coming off. Derek White. They have Marcus Smart. They have just the guys. If Robert Williams is healthy, guys, I will take my Celtics to 7. But it will be a really good Eastern Conference matchup. I can't wait. The playoffs are just around the corner. And next time, we're going to look at the messy Western Conference. If you think that Eastern Conference looks bad, check out the Western Conference. The defending champs are 8th right now. So stick around for next time. I'm Nora Zainab, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Justin Pooney, and we'll catch you guys on Wednesday.